Chapter 2, The Third Law of Passive Income, How Passive Stays Passive. By 2007, I had well surpassed my 100 house goal. I had left California feeling successful, but I arrived in Florida feeling like I'd found the land of real estate plenty. Here was a place with low prices, friendly tax and real estate laws, and effortless financing. My 100 house mission felt almost easy. Too easy, I now realize. The arrival of the subprime mortgage crisis made the flaw in my plan abundantly clear. As the market tightened, money dried up, the economy began to buckle, and things began to fray. Property values were declining. People stopped paying rent because incomes were dropping. Refinancing became harder and harder. It was getting more and more difficult to maintain the business I'd built. To stay afloat, I began selling some of the properties I still had in California. But values were dropping up to 60%. Rents were going down by 30%. I went from expecting checks every month to writing checks. I was paying money just to sell things. Everything began to unravel. I was slowly, inexorably, losing it all. By 2008, I was over $3 million in debt. My net worth was deeply negative. I moved back in with my parents. That year, I paid myself $4,000 for the year. That's how broke I was. Later that same year, I wrote an entry in my journal, down to $78.04. Either something was going to change or I was going bankrupt. Back to the grind. That was one of the hardest periods of my life. What made it harder was a single idea growing inside me. Somehow, my drive to accumulate properties had caused this. My 100-house dream had gone from being a boat surfing a rising tide to an anchor dragging me under. I knew that hard times are when the best lessons are learned, but I still didn't understand where I'd gone wrong, and I was too concerned with survival to figure it out. The next 5 years were a lot of pain. I knew that the only way to stay alive was to keep doing deals. I had to grow my way out. While we held on for dear life to our properties and protected our investors, I started hustling. The foreclosure market in Florida was growing in the wake of the subprime crisis, and I began buying foreclosed properties. Again. Soon I was buying 10, 12 foreclosures a month in partnership with brokers and private money. We'd close in a week for cash and renovate the homes. This time, however, I'd learned my lesson. Instead of selling all the homes, we'd sell half of them and keep the other half to rent for passive income. Even as I write this, I can see how it might sound great on paper. Buying a dozen remarkably cheap properties a month with 100% financing, who doesn't want that? Anyone who wants to have a happy and stable life, that's who. The third law of passive income. Buying all those inexpensive properties might sound sexy, but it was hard. I was dealing with problematic contractors, unexpected costs, difficult tenants, high turnover. Eventually, I stabilized our financial life, but I realized I was heading right back down the 100 doors at any cost road. My passive income was starting to feel very active. My phone rang almost constantly. There was a never-ending stream of issues to resolve. This didn't feel like the legendary family life I'd imagined. I was still certain that real estate was the path to the life I wanted, but I knew something was wrong. There had to be a better way. The problem, I realized, wasn't as simple as a mortgage crisis or a recession. The economy would always be out of my control. Somehow, this wasn't working. To truly understand where things went wrong, I had to go back to the basics, like all the way back. I remembered the two laws that define passive income. One, it takes little effort. That's the passive part. Two, it's predictable. That's the income part. Break either of those rules and passive income stops being passive. It either becomes active income or it stops being income, period. With that in mind, I went back and looked at all the hard parts of the crash through the passive income lens. One, why did my properties start taking so much effort? Two, why did the income become unpredictable? Problem by problem, house by house, I dug for answers. And problem by problem, house by house, the answers were always the same. My properties sucked. It wasn't the most elegant discovery, and I didn't like the way it felt in my gut, but it was true. I had bought a lot of bad properties in bad areas. I didn't realize it, but they were. When things started to get tough, those properties kicked off a cascade of problems. As the economy shut down, people stopped paying rent and vacancies began to rise. Mortgages didn't care about the economy. There were still payments to make. Meanwhile, my cheap properties kept aging and needed more and more repairs. With less rent coming in, there was less money to cover those costs. As cash flow tightened, I had to do more and more work myself. Juggling all the demands of many properties became an ever-increasing part of my day. In other words, my passive income fell apart. Eventually, what I had was a second job that paid very poorly, and I had only been making it worse by buying more foreclosures. Not all my properties were bad ones, mind you, and those told a different story. The few high-quality properties I had in good areas performed entirely differently. The tenants were less susceptible to sudden economic change. They continued to pay rent, and there were fewer vacancies. The properties were in better condition and needed less maintenance. The expenses I did have were more predictable. I knew exactly when the HVAC would need repairs, or a roof would need replacing. The end result was that the income required less effort and remained more predictable. Even in a recession, my higher quality properties maintained their passive income and much of their value. The real insight I realized was this. The key to passive real estate income is quality. Passive income, I realized, stopped being passive when it wasn't combined with quality. Passive income and quality were like conjoined twins. They need each other to survive and thrive. In all my education and study, no one had ever told me that without quality, I would eventually break the first two laws of passive income. No quality meant low-quality passive income eventually becomes active income. Low-level buildings, tenants, and neighborhoods require high-level maintenance. They take more time, more money, and more peace of mind. Low-quality income is active income, and active income is another way of saying job. If you're like most successful people I know, another job is not what you're looking for. Low-quality passive income eventually becomes unpredictable. The low quality of the structures, tenants, and neighborhoods makes them less resilient to changes in the economy, changes in regulation, changes in climate, changes in everything. Every hiccup threatens the cash flow or increases expenses. At some point, low-quality income destabilizes and simply stops being income. That's when I understood. Quality was what unlocked passive income. The problem wasn't that I was in real estate. It was that I was in the wrong kind of real estate. The three quality elements. I had learned that quality is what keeps passive income passive. How, I wondered, could I improve the quality of my properties and income? I began to break down the problems I was having and realized they fell into three quality areas. One, property, the age and build quality of the homes themselves. Two, area, the appeal and quality of the neighborhood the home was in. Three, tenant, the stability and reliability of the people renting the home. Every problem I had was related to one or more of those quality elements. Those cheap properties meant my turnover and vacancy rates were higher. Rent payments were less predictable. There were more issues with property damage and complaints. Maintenance costs and hassles were higher. My first thought was, I can fix this. Surely I could improve the homes or screen my tenants more diligently. But the more I thought about those three problems, the more I realized they were connected. On my quest for 100 houses, I had bought the cheapest homes I could afford. Cheap houses cost more to run. Cheap houses were often in less desirable neighborhoods. Cheap houses in bad areas attracted difficult tenants. As long as I owned an 80-year-old home, it was going to cost me more, no matter how much I worked on it. And I couldn't really change the neighborhoods. And that meant I couldn't attract different tenants. Those three quality elements, I realized, formed a three-legged stool. As long as all three were present, a project could stand on its own three legs and deliver low maintenance and reliable passive income. But take away any single element, and passive income would falter. High quality passive income happens when all three elements meet. There was no way to solve just one problem. I needed to solve all the problems. An idea, that was the light bulb moment. If I wanted true passive income, income that was both low effort and stable, I needed to attach it to quality. That was how I'd build an income that gave me both the time and the financial resources to lead a legendary family life. But if I truly wanted quality in property, area, and tenant, then I couldn't keep focusing on old fixer-uppers. I needed something better. From that moment on, when I wasn't living the nightmare of terrible properties and terrible areas, I was dreaming of better ones. I imagined having a new property, no surprises, predictable maintenance, high-quality tenants who stayed for years, modern materials and modern building standards, energy efficiency. The list went on. The more I lived out the drama of owning old homes, the more I began to dream of new ones. Imagine, I thought, building something specifically for renting, not buying some old home and converting it, but starting the way we intended to finish. Purpose-built, high quality, appealing homes in appealing areas. I had a building partner that we'd been working on and off with for a few years. We'd sold them a few properties or vice versa, but we'd never really built anything together. One day, he came to me with an idea. What if we built our own? The key points of chapter 2. Passive income only stays passive if it's connected to quality. Quality in real estate has three elements: property, area, and tenant. The highest quality passive income is generated where all three elements meet. The best way to guarantee all three elements is in new construction.